Brother Fincher's going to come preach for us. I'm looking forward to him blessing us tonight. He has been noted as a great pastor, minister for years in the church, and I'm just blessed to have him here. Brother Fincher, would you come and bless us?
Hallelujah. I'd like to thank the pastor for inviting me tonight to speak to you great people. I have noticed since coming in that I've got the wrong sermon. You see, y'all do possess the love of God here. It's all over the place. And I commend you for it. The fellowship, the welcome, and everything. But I'm going to try to do my best to preach tonight, like God has given me this message to preach. I think that I got it from the Lord. In fact, he changed my message. I was going to preach on something else the first time he asked me, and then I called him back, and we changed dates. But to know Brother Stroop is to, and now that's a trip. I really mean that. Hey, how many of you folks got a fishing boat? Raise your hand. Don't take him fishing. I thought he was going to fall in, but he just made sure that I lost every rod and reel. I had deep sea divers down there trying to find it. That was in Mobile, and it was deep there where we were at, under that bridge where the road went across there. But we had a good time. He's a mess. Yeah. In fact, my wife was talking to my son a while ago, and he said, "I can just see him right now." I said, "My mind's eye, I can see Ken Stroop." But know him is to love him. And won't you give him a hand tonight? And I appreciate him and his family. I'm going to tell a little tale here. There's a politician come through the country, and he was giving announcements all over town. He was going to meet in this place, and he wanted everybody to come out and hear what he had to say. He was running for office. When he got out there, there was one feller sitting on a pew there. So he went up there, and he said, "Well, ain't but one of you here tonight," but said, "I'm going to go ahead and give you my message." So he began to tell it. When he got through, the feller stood up and he said, "What'd you think about it?" He said, "Well, I'm just a farmer myself." Said, "I'm no politician. I don't know nothing about that. But I don't believe if one cow showed up, I'd feed it all the hay I had." Hey, man. Oh, man. But anyway, it's good to be in God's house tonight. I was born 1932, so I'm no spring chicken tonight. I'm 80 years old, pastored church for 45 years, and before that, about 7 years, I evangelized before I started pastoring. So I love the Lord. I love God. He's brought me through so many things in my life, and I don't have time to tell you about them tonight. But just before I get into my sermon, I would like to say a word to the church about your praying for the sick. Stacy Aldridge used to be my youth director, and he had a massive heart attack. In fact, he was out 23 minutes before they ever got his heart back to beating and got it back. Did you know he knows all of his family, and he's come through it? But people have been praying for this guy all over this country. Prayer changes things. His mother had a mass on one of her left side, her kidney. Her husband told me about it, and they thought maybe she may have cancer and all these things. Their family's been hit so hard. So during all this time I was praying, she went back to the doctor the other morning for a checkup, and they couldn't find nothing. Hallelujah. Glory. Adamoho Shidobaka Yanda Roboho Sataya. Ye man shikiao randa bahasataya. Lika shandaramahosa. The Spirit wants you to stand and lift your hands and love the Lord for a moment. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelakoshitabakayandaramahosataya. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. He's here, folks. He's here tonight. Give him a hand clap of praise. He's in the house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Well, you may be seated. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to start tonight in the fact of fifth chapter of Galatians, if you have your Bibles and you're following along with me, and starting with the 22nd verse, and I'll give you time to find it. It's most preachers' time you get, they give out their scripture halfway through the Bible before you ever get there. Amen. Seen a lot of folks I used to pastor, people I know, and it's good to be in Alabaster tonight. Praise God. But the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. Tonight I want to speak on a subject called the Spirit produces Christian character. How many believes tonight that it takes the Spirit of God to do a work in your life? The Spirit produces Christian character. And I want to deal with, there's nine of those gifts tonight, but I want to deal with the first one. If you have your Bibles and you want to follow along, we will be honored tonight. See, in the when the Spirit of God moved, it touched people. When all the way back through the Bible, you find that it touched people. I remember we used to go to camp meeting in Birmingham. In fact, I got saved, I believe I was 16 when I joined the Church of God. And the Spirit of the Lord would move. And you could be sitting in that old tabernacle up there. And old Brother Ray Hughes, he was just a young man then. He's preaching. And the Spirit of God would move across that place. It sounded like a rain coming. And as it moved across the auditorium, there people would move and shake, and the Spirit would jerk their bodies around as it moved across. Such an anointing of the Spirit, praise God. And the Bible said that He would pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. So there's been a Spirit ever since Jesus died at Calvary's cross and He went back to glory and stepped into the Oval Office of heaven and took His blood and placed it up on the mercy seat there, hallelujah, and He said to the Father, it's finished, hallelujah, and He turned and He said to Gabriel, send the Holy Ghost back, and in the upper room, there was a rushing mighty wind, and it began to fill the house, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set up on each of them. I want to tell you tonight, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of the living God began to move upon humanity for the first time. And we find that God has a plan tonight for the church of the living God to live, move, and breathe in the Spirit of the Lord. You see, without the Spirit of God, we can do nothing tonight. The early church was born in the anointing. Hallelujah. But I believe the foundation of the church tonight exists in that love factor. You see, God said to the church at Ephesus, he commended them for all the good things they'd done, all the things that they were performing. And he said, I know how you hate evil. I know this and I know that. But when he got right down to the nitty gritty, he said, I have somewhat against you. And they said, what is that? He said, you have left your first love. I want to tell you, love is the foundation of the church. Why do you say that, Pastor? It's because God said he is love. That's the present tense verb. Right now, God is the essence of love. And I believe what the church of the living God needs to do tonight is get back to that love factor where God can move, where people will love one another and they can appreciate one another and they can pray one for another. And it's the love that gives you the unction to perform the work of the King. How many believe that tonight? Oh, praise God. Fifth chapter of Romans, in the first verse says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith unto his grace, whereby or wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of his glory. Hallelujah. And he went on down in the fifth verse, and he said, hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. You see, the Holy Ghost is the Spirit that produces the love that we have one for another. When the Spirit of the Lord fails, when the power of God fell, it filled their vessels, and there was fire that set upon each of them. Let me tell you something tonight. But there was an unction of the love factor that made them love one another, pray one for another. They went from house to house breaking bread and having fellowship. That's what the church is about tonight. Good old-fashioned fellowship where we come to church and we sing, we pray, and we have the power of God manifested in the house of the Lord. Somebody say amen. Amen. I had a little problem. It got me on some medication, so my mouth may get a little dry tonight. How many is praying for me? So we find that it's produced by the Holy Ghost. And I believe tonight the church, I'm talking about this church, I'm not talking about this church, I'm talking about the church in general. There's a missing link. Ephesus, he said, I have somewhat against you because you left your first love. I believe the church tonight needs a fresh anointing and a fresh Spirit of God that will produce the love, the compassion of one another to one another. Hallelujah. In John 17, 26, he said, I've declared unto them thy name and will declare it. The love wherein thou hast loved me may be in them and I in them. What is he saying? The love that I have for this world. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, thank you, Holy Spirit, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For he came not into the world to condemn the world, but the world through Jesus might be saved. That's the message tonight. There's still victory. There's still power. There's still a holy anointing in the blessed presence of the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of the living God. Somebody say amen. He wanted you to know that he wanted you to possess the same love that he had for us. And we would be in him, and he would be in us. That same love. Hallelujah. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Praise God. John, 1 John 2 and 2, he is a perpetuation of our sins, not for ours only, but the sins of the whole world. You see, Jesus, when he went to Calvary, he took all of our rebellion, all of our sins in his own body and nailed it to the cross. He bare the sins of the whole world. How did he do that, preacher? Because he came to seek and to save that which is lost. And the enemy of man is sin, that which separates us from our Creator God. And he took that sin and he buried it in his own body. He went to Calvary for me. He went there for Ken's troop. He went there for every believer here tonight. He went to Calvary and took your sin and nailed it to the cross. You know what else he did? When you asked him to come into your heart and forgive you, he reached up no matter what you've done, no matter how big a sin you've done. He wiped that slate clean and he said, now you're justified by faith to stand up and claim salvation. For I have adopted you into my family and you're part of my group now. You're part of my family now. Somebody say amen. Much more than being justified by his blood, as you sung tonight, we shall be saved from wrath through him. I'm justified by the blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There has to be a blood sacrifice. We go back to Cain and Abel, and that proves that. Cain tried to get in on it, but he had grapes and what he had worked for, and he thought that was sufficient. And then jealousy moved into his life, and he saw his brother Abel out there in the field one day, and he took a club and slew him. I want you to know jealousy is more cruel than the grave. God met Cain, and he says, where is thy brother Abel? It made him mad. He said, am I my brother's keeper? I want to stop right there and drive this point home. I want to nail this one. Hallelujah. You are your brother's keeper. You are his fellowship. You are his prayer warrior. You are the person that's responsible for your brother tonight. Hallelujah. Together, we are one big family, born again, baptized believers, looking unto the author, the finisher of our faith, the Lord Jesus. Somebody say amen. So we're justified by that blood, and we're saved from wrath through him. When we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. You know, when he was 12 years old, he went to the temple. He taught them. He was God in the form of a little boy. I always liked to think about as he grew up. He had all his wisdom, all his power, but he had it under control. And he never abused any of it as he grew up. He was just a carpenter's son, and he played that part well. Hallelujah. But when he went before Pilate, he said, art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus looked at him. He says, thou sayest I am. Hallelujah. Is he your king tonight? Is he your savior tonight? Do you love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and body? Hallelujah. And then he went on to say, husband, love your wives. It's Ephesians 5 and 25. Even as Christ loved the church and he gave himself for it. This love that drove him to save and redeem humanity from the curse of sin that happened in the Garden of Eden is so great and so powerful. Hallelujah. So God gave his life, his only begotten son, that we might be saved through him, through the Son. I want to tell you, Jesus is real tonight. His name is the only name that you can ever use to get saved. Somebody say amen. Then he said he might sanctify it. Hallelujah. And cleanse it by the washing of the water by the word. The word is what God has tonight to offer us. The word that is life and powerful. He spoke the word and things happened. He spoke the word and the sun and the moon began to shine. He spoke the word and created this world. He created everything that was created. Without him, there's nothing created that was created. Somebody say amen. So his love is perfected in us. In us. Hallelujah. I like to think about, though man have seen God at any time, but if we love one another, God dwells in us and his love is perfected in us. No man has seen him at any time. But if we dwelled in him and he dwells in us, we can ask what we will and it shall be done unto us. Hallelujah. The power of the spoken word. Somebody say praise the Lord. John 13 and 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye may love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples. I believe what the church needs tonight, more than just preaching of the word, is love. I believe people need to get back to where they can love one another. You remember the old time revivals we used to have? When I pastored Brantleyville over here, we had a revival over there with Al Bristow. And about 2 o'clock in the morning, there was such a move of the Holy Ghost until people got up out of their houses and went back to the house of God. And there in that basement, we came in from everywhere. People came just like they were. And hallelujah, and they fell on their faces and began to pray. There was a guy over there who was a drunk. He was over there with Jingo and and he was over there drinking with him. He put his beer down. He said, where are you going? He said, I got to go to church. He said, church? He said, yeah. And he came into the basement of that church, fell on his face and repented and gave his heart to God. That was what it was. It was the Spirit of God moving over the community, moving over the people. He's here tonight. He can move over your situation. I don't care how depressed you might be. The Holy Spirit of God can help you. It can lift you out of that depressed mood and give you hope again and give you power with God. Somebody say praise the Lord. 1 John 3 and 16. Hereby we perceive the love of God. Because God laid down his life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. You know, instead of, you know, love is long-suffering, gentle, meek. And everybody's not going to be perfect. Hello? Forbearance, that means give them a chance to do right. Forbear, patience, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness. That love ingredient. He said, as I have loved you, ye ought so to love one another. And by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. And I've had churches I've pastored all across this country. And there'd be people in the pew trying to help me pastor from the pew. They thought they knew more than I did. But God says, touch not my anointed and do my servant no harm. I want to tell you the duty of the church is to hold this man up. Lift him up in prayer. Lift him up in fasting. And love him. And you ain't got to answer for what he does. But he'll have to answer for what he does. And the church is free to go ahead and worship God from the dictates of their own heart. Because nobody's going to be perfect for you. Amen. You're going to find fault. In fact, you find a perfect church, when you join it, it ceases to be a perfect church. Somebody say amen. That's what happens with humanity. The love of God towards Israel. Listen to what he said. The Lord had appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. You know, one day I become aware that I was a sinner and I was on my way to hell. And the love of God began to draw me and convict me. I'll never forget how I felt. It was such a condemnation in my life. I had to pray. I had to get it out of the blood. I went to an altar and knelt down and asked God for forgiveness. I never will forget. I was 16 years of age. I was shouting and speaking in a heavenly language. And there was a Church of Christ lady outside, standing outside the door. She knew me all my life. She said, "He's going to give out in a minute and fall down and die. If somebody don't help him." But when I fell off the rostrum. My head hit a pew and knocked it against the wall in the Pale City Church of God. And Mother jumped up. She was sitting back there and screamed, "Come up there to help me." I never had a knot on my head or anything. I want to tell you, it was the Spirit of the living God that permeated that place. Hallelujah. Oh, Brother Bynum walked over and grabbed the stove and hugged it. It was red hot. He didn't even have nothing burn on his clothes. God's real tonight. I don't care where you at. He can reach you. He can help you. He can minister to you. You don't have to go around defeated anymore. Somebody say amen. He said in John, 1 John 3:16, if we perceive the love of God because he laid down his life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whosoever hath this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his bowels of compassion against him, how dwelleth the love of God in you? Folks, what we need is what the church was built on, the love of God. It will build. It will stand the test of time. It will take you through a storm. It'll bring you out where you can see the sunshine again. Hallelujah, the moon and the stars at night. I want to tell you something. I've been to a lot of churches. I pastor a lot of churches. But I want to tell you something. If I lived in this community, I'd come to this church. Because y'all showed me tonight there's love. There's love in this house. And that's what it takes to make it, friend. Somebody say amen. He said in John 7:38, hallelujah, the Spirit produces Christian character. Yes, he that believeth on me, as the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. I don't know how big your stream is tonight. Hallelujah. But the Bible said if you believed in him and trusted him, give your life to him, that there'd be a river flowing. That means an artesian well of joy, love, and peace. Hallelujah. Bubbling up inside of you. You can't contain it because it's God manifesting himself in your life. I don't know. Some people got a little treacle. Some people don't have any water at all, but others have got a whole river flowing. You ever run into a river? They can't shut up about the goodness of God. They can't shut up about how great God is. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Sorry you invited me. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship. Hello? We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We are the essence of him. You see, we are the entity of his vision. When he took Adam and Eve and drove them out of the garden, he started figuring a way to get us back into that fellowship. And you know what he done? He said you could plant a seed in the ground. Unless that seed dies, it won't bring forth life. Jesus went back to the origin of life and planted that divine seed in Mary's womb and produced a God that whenever he walked around and touched, no matter what the disease was, he didn't catch anything. But the disease was eradicated, was healed. Hallelujah. You see, we're the essence of his joy. We are his feet, his eyes, his hands. Whatever we do, we should do all in the name of Jesus and for the glory of God. Hallelujah. You know, I get to thinking about, there's a friend of mine down there, I pastored at Childersburg, and he had an explosion out there the other day, and it burned him, and the flesh was peeling off his face. They rushed him to Birmingham. When they got down there, they carried him into to see the doctor, and the doctor said, "Well, my God, who's the patient?" He said, "There ain't nothing wrong with this man." God healed him on the way from Childersburg to Birmingham. Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know what you know, but I'm talking about my God tonight. I'm talking about my Jesus that loved me, died for me, and went back to glory. And he said, "Sir, tonight is my intercessor. His name is Jehovah Jireh. He'll supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Somebody say amen. Jump up and holler one time. I'm the pastor now. I'm his pastor now. Romans 12 and 1, "I beseech you therefore, brethren," speaking to the body of Christ, "by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is the reasonablest thing I expect out of you." So what is he saying to the body of Christ tonight? We're to present my body as a living sacrifice to the Lord. That means I don't reserve any Louis Finchers. I don't reserve any Elmer Finchers. I don't reserve Jerry Fincher, Cindy, or Debbie. That means on my own, I say, "Lord, here I am. I give you Louis Fincher tonight. I present this vessel into your hands, knowing you have all power in heaven and in earth, knowing that I'll be secure as long as I'm in the palm of your hand." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, reasonable service. Reasonable service. If you hadn't given your life to Jesus, if you hadn't presented your body a living sacrifice, if you hadn't asked him to come into your life, you're missing the joy and the peace of a loving God. See, this world's in trouble tonight. Hello? Very much in trouble. We got people on dope. We got alcoholics. And then we got a whole big arena of people that don't know how to control their own sex life. Hello? We got sin everywhere you look. Should the church really have love and reaching out for them? Yes. When they come here, they ought to find that they're appreciated and we love them. We want to help them. We don't want to talk about them and condemn them. We are the life preserver. Let's throw it to them tonight. Hallelujah to the King. And when I think of that tonight, I think about a loving God that loved me enough to die for me. I thank a God that loved me enough that when I was crushed between those gas trucks that time, he pushed back the hand of death. I was all broken up, 3 ribs busted, both clavicles popped. I was in water waist deep. It was a miracle that I ever survived. The doctor said, as soon as I was in a coma in Talladega Hospital, he said, as soon as he comes to, said he'll, the lungs and the bronchial tubes will swell, and ain't nothing nobody can do. But a little old feller called Brother Jones at Renfro Church of God was sitting by my bed when it happened. He said, I turned as black as any black man he'd ever seen. But he reached over and put his hand on my forehead. And he said, "God, there's not time to get a nurse. There's not time to get a doctor. If you don't heal him, he's gone." And I sat up and coughed, he said, and laid back and went to breathing on my own. Hallelujah. 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 When you get in a tight, he's wanting to walk in. Before that happened, though, I want to tell you a little story here. These church members come from everywhere. You remember, how many knows Donald Bradley? He's gone on to glory tonight. But he came and prayed for me. Lee Brasher came and prayed for me. Every preacher in town came and prayed for me. Nothing happened. But one night I was laying there. I couldn't speak. I couldn't say nothing. I was still in that coma. But you know what's going on around you. I want to tell you, if you're ever in a coma, you know what's happening. And the window was open over there, and the wind was blowing it. And I knew when he come through that window. I knew when he walked up to my bed. He reached over with his right hand, and he touched my feet. And it was just like you to dip my body in warm water. It went from It went from my feet to the top of my head. Hallelujah. And in 30 days, my wife had my son in another hospital while I was there trying to survive. She had my boy, and the doctor said, you'll never use them arms again. You'll never do this. You'll never do that. In 30 days, I was standing on the doorsteps of my house holding my newborn son in my arms. I'm here to tell you, it works, friend. It works, friend. It works, friend. Hallelujah. It works. Hallelujah. The Bible said, though I speak with tongues of men and angels, and I don't have love, I'm like a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. I want to tell you something tonight. You know, you can throw the name of Jesus around like somebody's sowing oats. But if you ain't got a life to back it up, it's a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. You don't know a man by what he says. You know him by what he does. I said, though I have the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries and all knowledge, though I have all faith that I could remove the mountains, but if I don't have love, I'm nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned, and I don't have love, I'm a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. That means I'm ineffective. Arlen, I can't do nothing else. Hallelujah. Man loses his rep, he's lost everything. Somebody say amen. Charity suffereth long. 1 Corinthians 13 and 4. It's kind. Charity envieth not. You ever seen people saying, I wished I had this, I wished I had that? The Bible wants us to be satisfied with what he's blessed us with. Hello? He said, envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up. That means that a Holy Ghost filled person can't get mad and puff up and hold grudges. I didn't mean to get here. Is this all right, Pastor? It seeketh not her own. Y'all ever heard this before? Twice. It thinketh no evil. It rejoices not in iniquity, but it rejoices in the truth. It beareth all things, and it believeth all things. It hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never fails. But where there be prophecy, they shall fail. Where there be tongues, they shall cease. Where there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. I want to tell you something tonight. If you gain this whole world and you lose your soul, you've lost everything. That scripture right there tells you that. Hallelujah. And you know what? I'll tell you something else. Your dog knows where you saved or not. I remember an old milk cow I used to milk. And a horsefly bit her one day, and I'd done dressed for school. I was just a young boy, and I had to milk 3 a.m, 3 p.m. And that was our livelihood. She picked that foot up, set it right down in that bucket, and it was a 10-quart milk bucket, and it was running over, and kicked it. And it went all over me. And she run out there, and the pastor had stopped and looked back at me and said, "Moo." Well, that was an insult I couldn't resist. So I looked down, and there was the prettiest, smoothest rock about the size of a baseball I ever seen in my life. It's a little humor, all right. I picked that rock up, and I said, "You crazy thing, you." And I turned it loose with every bit of strength I had and hit her right between the eyes. I'd still hear her knees pop when she hit the ground. I'm serious. It was a Jersey cow, too. One of Daddy's best butter cows that made butter. You know, sweet milk, you churn it, makes butter. Anybody knows that? Y'all buy it at the store here, don't you? Amen. Amen. So I knew I was in trouble because my daddy didn't fool around. He come in there one morning. We was all in the bed, and he went to whipping us, and he said, "What are you doing that for?" He said, "When you tell me, I quit." We told him everything we ever done. He said, "I didn't know you did that." Oh, man. But I got it. It was up. It was the barn was down here, and I had to run up a trail up there and then turn left. And when I got up there, I was running with that empty bucket in my hand. And I looked back, and that cow, you won't believe it, she was standing up in the lot. Saved. Saved, friend. I told Mother, I said, "You know, a horsefly bit that old cow a while ago, and she knocked all my milk out." She said, "Don't worry about it. I got plenty in the refrigerator." Amen. 1 John 4:7. How many loves the Lord tonight? Raise your hand. Let me back up here a little bit. In fact, Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and he gave himself for it. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and he gave himself for it. I tell you, there wouldn't be as many divorces as we are now if we had that love factor in the home like it should be. That he might sanctify it and cleanse it, washing the water by the word. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having a spot or even a wrinkle. I don't know, my wife dreamed one time. I was standing with a suit on, and she said it was just wrinkled from the top to the bottom. Boy, you know what I did? I went to the altar, and I got them wrinkles out. How many knows that we all fall short every now and then? There's nobody perfect. But we're striving. We're working on it. We're pressing our way into it. We're seeking his help, his divine nature, to be incarnated into my life and into your life tonight. You see, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of our sins. Jesus gave his life. I don't want him to die in vain because of my rebellion, my sin nature. I want to have that blood applied like Egypt when the children of Israel's leaving there. He told Moses, he said, "Make sure that all of them over in Goshen has killed a lamb without a spot or a blemish on it, or a goat. And let be the first year, a young one, and kill it and take the blood over the lintels and doorposts of their houses. And when I come through, when I see the blood, I will pass over you." You know, I feel like that there's something fixing to happen in America. I feel like we're on the verge of something dreadful. And it could be right now, North Korea's got missiles they can shoot into the United States. They have the atomic bomb. Iran has got them, almost got an atomic bomb, and probably have if we just knew the truth. We got a president that somehow or another hadn't seemed to got upset over it. But we're vulnerable now. I want to tell you something. I want the blood over the doorpost of my house. If it happens tonight, I want to be ready, don't you? Somebody say amen. So we find that we ought to love one another. And if you love your wives as your own body, men, you won't have a divorce. Ephesians 6 and 1, children, obey your parents. For this is right, honor thy father and thy mother, and your days shall be lengthened upon the earth. And provoke not your children to wrath. Be good to them. Be firm, but be good to them. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God. And he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. That answered the question, didn't it? If you don't have that love in your heart, you're just wasting your time. Really are fighting a losing battle. One day I hope I get where I can preach. How do you know you're saved? How do you know you've made peace with God? How do you know do you have that precious gift of love in your heart? For we know, 1 John 3 and 14, that we are passed from death unto life because we have love for the brethren. As I started out tonight on this subject, the love factor must be there. You can't build up on faith alone. You got to have love. You got to have the love of God shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Ghost. When he sent that Holy Ghost back on the day of Pentecost, there was a rushing, mighty wind that filled the house. How long has it been since you felt the wind? How long has it been since you experienced the rushing, mighty wind of the Holy Spirit? Would you stand right now all over the house? I want you to lift your hands and I want you to ask God in your own way, Father, stir up the gift of God that is within me. Lord, let me feel the breeze from the glory world. God, touch me tonight. Help me, Lord. Help me, God. Lord, make me a vessel of honor. Lord, make me a vessel of honor. Let me be used of you, Lord. Lord, I've given my life to you now, Lord. Open up, oh God, your plan for me in your book. Show it to me, God, that I won't be lost and just spinning my wheels. God, I want to be effective wherever I'm at. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be seated. He said to Peter in Matthew 16, 18, Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Friend, as long as your heart's right, you're full of the love of God and the Spirit of the Lord's in your life, and you belong to the body of Christ, you hadn't got to worry about anything. Hello? In fact, the Bible said worry is a sin. So put your faith and your trust in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I don't know how to land this plane, but I'm through. 2 Chronicles 7:14 said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven, and I'll forgive their sin, and I'll heal their land. What do you need healing tonight? What do you need him to lay his hand on tonight in your life? I've tried to use a little humor here tonight. I hope I've been successful. I'm not a monkey. I'm just a Church of God preacher. Somebody give God a hand clap of praise.